Good morning, people. Trust you all had a good Christmas. Yes, I'm sure we did. You did. Thank you, Paul. Well, bless you all. It's great to be here this morning. Praise God. That's good news. We received that God spared that part of the nation of Philippines, and our church is safe and the people are well there. It's another hand of God's blessing and provision upon our lives. But we do give thanks for that. But today, again, as we come together, it's a wonderful time of the year, isn't it? Not just as the world sees it, but for God's people. For God's people, we who believe, we who know the true meaning of Christmas, it's the birth of Jesus Christ. And that always resonates with us in our hearts. It's not just a once-a-year celebration for us. It's an everyday thing because Christ is within us. Amen? And so we just, it's probably just an added thing, the Christmas tag that comes along with our walk in Christ in that sense. As I said, I think truly Christmas, it is a wonderful time though. It just gives us an extra opportunity to share what the meaning of Christmas is about. You know, people ask, they might say, oh, what's all the fuss about? But it just opens an opportunity that we can say, no, it's about the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen? So it just signifies a time of celebrating God's great love for us and that in giving us Jesus. And it signified a new beginning. It was a new beginning. It began with a new birth, a beginning of a new life, a great expectancy. The world at that time was awaiting for a Messiah, someone that come to save them. But excuse me. But it was a great expectancy. It had come into being. The long-awaited arrival is here. And in this case, the long-awaited Messiah that was predicted long ago, that in the town of Bethlehem, the Anointed One, this Emmanuel, God's own Son, would be with us. Amen? So we know what it means to each one of us, and we all express it in a different way, but it comes around the one thing. It's the Lord Jesus Christ Almighty. Amen. That in the town of Bethlehem, this Anointed One, this Emmanuel, God's own Son, would be with us. Amen. So the angels rejoiced about the newborn King. Something that in the carols we sing, that man will live forevermore because of Jesus Christ. Amen. That man will live forevermore. That those who accept Christ will have Christmas forever, forever in their hearts through the birth of Jesus. That we have been given this opportunity to be a great, be a part of God's wondrous kingdom there. And in Luke chapter 2, it's a quite a long passage of scripture. I may not read it all, but I just want to bring that to our minds that we don't hear a lot of about Jesus in his younger years, but that's after his birth. In Luke chapter 2, it's a wonderful account here about how Jesus presented presented in the temple there. But I'll just move on a little bit before we read it. But in chapter 2, we have a wonderful prophecy here of Simeon and the account of Jesus being presented in the temple. And Luke 21 tells us all that took place in that keeping with the law, Jesus. He was circumcised. He was named Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He was brought into Jerusalem to be presented to the Lord. He, the firstborn, being the firstborn, God had first claim on his life. And in this passage of scripture, we see this devout man, Simeon, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, who had been eagerly awaiting the coming of the Messiah, just as we should, always eagerly seeking and to be in his presence. And the revelation that Simeon had received was that God would not let him die before he had seen the Messiah, the baby called Jesus. And as we read, we see Simeon's revelation being fulfilled and receiving God's promise of eternal peace. And just read a few verses here. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus. He was the name given to him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for the purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of the child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to be presented to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And then we come to the prophecy of Simeon in verse 25. At that time there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly awaiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God. And he said, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which has been prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. And the scripture goes on to say, Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. And also at the same gathering there, we see the prophecy of Anna in verse 36. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when he had been married only 7 years. She lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshipping God and fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. And when Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favour was upon him. And it's just wonderful, an account there of people eagerly awaiting the coming Messiah. We've seen there Simeon was waiting, and then we've seen how Anna was waiting. That lady was so devoted to the coming of the Messiah, as it said there. She spent nearly all her life there in the temple, every day going there, praying and fasting and just sharing with about God in at that time. But I see that for us as a wonderful testimony, an example of and a witness to anyone who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. This Simeon declaring, "Lord, I can now die in peace." Now, I believe that's just a wonderful thing there, that because people, you know, we are a revelation to the unsaved, aren't we? Because of the Spirit of God within us, that should radiate, that should penetrate out and to reach others. And we have to declare this wonderful news, you know, for my eyes have seen, your eyes have seen. And as Pat shared during communion, we visited some of our family. She spoke about her cousin Rod, but a brother-in-law of mine. He's 92 years of age, and he's received the bad news too, that his kidneys are failing, and it's only a matter of time before. I'd like to say go to be with the Lord, but Bob's been very hard, you know, and Noel's father, Manny, has witnessed to him time and time and again, and spoke over many years, I suppose 25 years, but Bob just resisted. And we've spoke to him, others have spoken here, but he's just one of those hard nuts, you know, to crack. And, you know, he just resisted any thought of, you know, asking Jesus Christ in his life. But, you know, I'll get around to him again, hopefully, before he does pass away. But I'll just have to tell him that, you know, he needs to see the Lord. He needs to know the Lord, or he's just going to miss out. But, again, for Simeon's expectancy, you know, to see the Lord. He wanted to see the Lord, for my eyes have seen, and he was able to die in peace and that. But for Simeon, he was given a special insight into recognising the Christ. And so, you know, that needs to be so with us. We don't, when the Lord comes, we don't want him to pass us by. We don't want to not recognise him. We need to have that, what's the right word, and a likeness, come in a minute, but anyway, we just need to have that spiritual oneness, that when the Lord comes, when he appears in his front, we're going to say, "Lord, Lord," and with great joy, because the Spirit is in us and upon us and that. But so let us declare, you know, we have seen a great light. We have seen a great life. We can rest in peace and that. And I believe, you know, it's something is always being birthed in God, you know, visions, ideas. God is always at work showing us things, you know, giving us a picture of what we can hope for in the days ahead. And I would say that over Christmas, you know, as we approach the coming of another year, we reflect over many things, don't we? Because a lot of things have taken place over the year. A lot of things have happened. And So, you know, we've had the occasion to rejoice over many things. You know, God and his faithfulness has answered prayer. His things have happened. People's lives have been touched. People's lives have been changed as they just come to know what the fullness of Christ, the fullness of the Spirit within us really means. So as we just reflect upon the year taken place, We can do so with that peace within our hearts. But praise God, you know, that through his willingness to love and to forgive us. And that's a powerful thing, isn't it? Because often we go from one year to the other not putting things right. We can't live like that, can we? We can't. We've got to let things rest and let them go. But because, you know, we want to be able to forgive one another of our wrongdoings. But, you know, God cancels out the old, amen? The scripture tells us, he said, our sins he will remember no more. And so as we put the past behind us, the things we might and may not want to carry, God said, lay them at my feet, lay them at the cross. And there, but what we see here is the love and the grace of God. It breaks down enormous barriers. Amen. And but for us in God, you know, he's always making ways and giving us opportunity to look ahead. We need to be always looking ahead, looking to see, looking for someone to confront each day in our daily walk, our daily comings and going, that for that opportunity. And as God provides opportunity, also that he would give us the Spirit, through the power of his Spirit, the words to speak that would touch someone's life and they would come to know him. But as I said, he's always making ways and giving opportunity as we look ahead, always with a living and certain hope in and through Jesus Christ. The past can be remembered and referred to, but most importantly, the fact remains, without the past, there is no future. So as we leave the past behind and look ahead to what God's going to do in the days ahead. We may have had disappointments. Things may not have worked out the way we have wanted to. But we keep looking ahead. Amen? We keep looking ahead there. Because the Spirit says arise. Arise. The Spirit says arise. And as we arise, as we cling on to the hope, as we cling on to the purpose and plans that God has for each and every one of us, we keep get going ahead. We remember the good times, the sad times. We laugh and we cry over the past happenings. But because we are here today, and if we apply ourselves, that is looking to God, looking ahead to the things of the future with the firm assurance and the knowledge of knowing that God is with us. Amen. God is with us in everything we do. And God willing, which he is, you know, we will be here tomorrow and the days ahead. Amen. And God is willing and able and to do exceedingly abundantly all we could ask or think, according to what? The power that worketh in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And so we live in that, believing this scripture. No, we will be here tomorrow and the days to follow. And it seems in life, you know, our dependence upon God, you know, we need to be more resilient, don't we? Because the enemy is all the time trying to crush us and put us down and keep us out of the picture, so to speak. But need to have that greater desire to look to God. You know, God is a God of impossibilities, amen. And we just want to walk in that power and in that promise that God will help us overcome the forces that do rise up against us. But as we know, challenges do come our way. But challenges, as challenges come, they can stimulate us and make us, you know, go do even better in our walk, in our physical abilities, in our spiritual ability. God is always there giving us that little push in, helping us along the way there. As Pastor Lewis also mentioned this morning, you know, Vision Sunday will be with us in a few weeks' time, and Pastor Chris will unfold the vision that God has laid on his heart and for us this year. So as we grasp hold and run with the vision that Pastor brings, you know, God's going to do a great thing. Amen. And Pastor Lewis also spoke last week. You know, he had great hope, great visions. He could see a big growth coming into the church, new people coming in. And so as we get into this new year, let that be a part of our daily prayer life. Lord, bring people in, or for us to bring them in. God will bring them in, but you know, we have to look after them, we have to care for them, so we have to grow in our thoughts and outreach there. But as we grasp hold of the vision, as we run with the vision, as I said, good things will happen. Amen. But as we start this out this year, we need to start well. It's a new year, so we need to let go of anything that would hold us back and from pressing forward and accomplishing everything God has for each and every person here at Grow Church. But just moving on here, but you know, by letting go, it's a tremendous opportunity to start afresh, isn't it? We all make plans and have hopes and resolutions there, but you know, we've got to just trust God that he will take care of our situations, and he will be with us. And if we start afresh over again, he's willing to let that happen because God is a God of new beginnings. Amen? New beginnings, new beginnings. And what this means to us, it's wanting more of God and less of us, isn't it? It's more of God and less of us. We have to give over to God, hand everything over to God. All God wants to do is open up the floodgates, and often we're keeping them closed, aren't we? But we just need to be open to what the Spirit of God wants to do. As we know, the Spirit moves in mysterious ways and many different ways. We never know how God's going to do something or what God's going to do. Only thing we know that God is able, amen? That God is able, and as I said, he just wants to open the floodgates of heaven and for us to enter in, for people to come to know him in a wonderful way. And as before, as I said, you know, as we've experienced before over the Christmas period, how tempting it is that with all the glitter and trimmings and about us and everything on offer, the world is telling us we just have to have. But today, it's all packed away. We see all the shops are promoting Christmas, and next day they ripped all their signs down and put up sale, 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 you know, and thousands of people going shopping again. So, as Christians, we don't put Christ away, amen? We don't pack Jesus up in a box and put him away, because his power is an omnipresent God. God is with us, amen? He sent his own Son to be with us, that he might bring peace into the world, that he would give us a heart and a hope, and that we would be able to live in him. We would have that confidence with knowing Jesus within our hearts. He would take us through every season, and his promise of, lo, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and I will be with you to the very ends of the earth. And so this morning, you know, You know, as I said, we don't pack Jesus away. It's a celebration that lasts forever. It's a part of our everyday thing. And that there. But so this morning, I just want to encourage us all, you know, that no matter how difficult things can be for people, but the big thing I think to remember, you know, we have to look on the bright side. There's a song years ago, "Look on the Bright Side" or something, forget it all. But, you know, we look on what God has done, amen. We can look with affectionate and love towards God because of everything that he's done in our life, everything that he's done in our past. But the future, the things that we may not see, we all have vision and thoughts and hopes and desires about what God is going to do in our midst. Amen. And as we look to that, you know, we just have that hope, have that hope. But remember the good things, the blessing that you are to each other. And I would say to us today, cherish this country that we live in, because, you know, there's a world around us where millions are less fortunate than we are. Others, you know, we only have to look in the past few weeks, a month or so. It seems like fires have been going for 2 or 3 months or more now. But all those people that have lost everything, you know, it's so devastating. But, you know, there's people that are so much less fortunate we are. But just a word, you know, Charles Swindoll, concluded a powerful storyline. He said, "We are never more like God than we give." I'm sure you would agree with that, amen? We are never more like God than when we give. When we give of ourselves, when we give out to others, when we touch other people's lives, we're giving what God has given us, a spirit of abundance. We give out of our hearts, whatever it is, we're giving back to God, and that's all God wants. And I'm sure we've all experienced that, what joy and blessing it is in giving and receiving during Christmas. But it's worth complimenting the words of Jesus, where it exhorts us and it says to live out your God created identity. We've got to be the people God wants us to be, to live out that thing that God has planted within us, that created identity. And we are identified by being people of God, and we are encouraged to live graciously and generously toward others, the way God lives toward you. And just as I come to a close, God wants the very best for all of us, and it's up to us to pursue his plans and purposes he has for us. So I'm encouraging us all, start the year well and you will finish well. Keep moving with God. Honour what God has done in your life. Give back to him what is rightfully his, and he will surely give back to you. And as we do all these things, we will continue to have an impact and be able to touch a community out there of people who don't know Jesus Christ. Amen? So we just need to be more effective in all our endeavours in reaching out and to bring people into the point of salvation, and to seeing their needs met in Jesus Christ. We have to be the shining light that we have spoken much about. We hear a lot about. We are the light of the world, amen? We're God's people, and we need to shed the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and let people see that we are the people who God wants us to be. But God wants us to use each and every one of us to be kingdom builders. We're all part of that. Each one has that responsibility. We're all able to speak the word of God and to touch other people. And as today, I would say, let hope light your way. And to encourage you this morning, and as I trust as we come to a close and we sing the last song this morning, the Lord, we're going to sing a song in a moment. Lord, the light of your love is shining. And that's a favourite of many people. We sang on it a lot in the early Westvale days, with the church, early years, and it's been a favourite of many people. But as we sing that this morning, I'm sure it will stir your hearts and challenge us in the coming year to have a greater desire to reach out and touch others for Jesus. Amen. This morning, again, we just offer the opportunity for people to come forward to prayer, for prayer, for whatever need, or you may have a need for prayer for this morning, just come forward. But especially this morning, if when anyone here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour, today is your opportunity to put things right, to let go of the past, to look into the future, to look ahead for what Jesus Christ can do in your life. So don't hesitate. Come forward if that's you this morning. But if you need prayer, anyone needs prayer, please come forward and we'll be so happy to pray with you. Excuse me. But let us all stand and sing. Thanks, musicians and singers. Great worship this morning too. And as we do close, personally from my wife, Pastor Patricia, myself, for the past year, we just thank you and appreciate you so much. We thank you for the way that you have blessed us. We thank you for the way you care and have a concern for us, and for your love and just grace toward us. We do love and appreciate you all so much, and it's just a joy to serve you, the way where we are able to do. But we do love and appreciate you all so much, and our blessing is that, you know, God's favour will be greater on you in this coming year. Amen. Bless you all.